Ah, it's Sunday again. Good morning, saints. What a pleasure to be here today. And what great weather we have here in the UP. If I would have known that, I would have left Pittsburgh long ago. That's why I hear that. Well, I decided to wear a suit today. This will be an oddity for you, so I want to tell you right off. But there's something about a suit that makes you feel a little bit different. And I want to thank Mike, who instantly came up to me and said, "You clean up nice sometimes, don't you?" Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Of course, yeah, I have my wife saying, "Boy, my goodness, don't you look pretty today?" Just what a man likes to hear. Thanks, hon. I think maybe there is something too that the clothes makes the man. And as we walk our Christian walk, what we put on, what we do and model as Christians, also makes a godly man. And we're going to talk about that today. But before that, I want to tell you a story. It's a story of a man that just got called on the phone for an interview. And he had nothing to wear. And he said, "Oh my goodness, I got to get to the clothing store right away." So he goes to the men's shop instantly and walks in. Of course, there's a salesman. You know, some of these guys are like used car salesmen. As soon as he walks in, he says, "Boy, do I have a suit for you." And the guy said, "Well, I got to get one right away and probably put it on and go out the door because I have an interview in about an hour." So the guy said, "That's no problem." And he picks a suit off the rack, and the individual puts it on and finds out it's about two sizes larger than what it should be for him. Of course, the salesman said, "It looks nice. I mean, this suit really fits you nice." He said, "I don't know." He said, "It's kind of long. What do I do there?" He said, "No problem. Just when you wear your suit, just grab it like that. That's all. That's no problem." He said, "But, you know, it's kind of wide, or, you know, kind of wide. It's big." He says, "Well, that's, you know, we can fix that." He says, "Grab that and just come across." He said, "Well, you know, that shoulder then leans to one side." He says, "No problem. Just put your chin on that." And he said, "Now look in the mirror." And the guy said, "Oh, that doesn't look too bad." So I said, "Well, I got to go off my interview." So he starts walking down the street like this. And he goes past two old ladies. And the old ladies look up right away. And the one lady says to the other, "Oh, look at that poor crippled man." And the other lady says, "Yeah, but don't that suit look good?" You know, we can laugh about that, but sometimes that's the way we are. We put on the wrong suit, thinking that we're portraying the image of God, when really the suit has the old world still put attached to it. And we're spiritual cripples, and we don't model Him. And that's what the series is today, or one of the messages on today. And that is, in order to be the people of God and who God made us to be as a church, we need to be holy and model Him. Be holy and model Him. Fourth, this is the fourth of a six-part series. The first one was, we will dance. Number two was, we will come outside our comfort zone. Number three, we will give hope. And today we're going to talk about, we will be holy. We will be holy and model Him. How important is that? How important is it that we are holy and model Him? Let me tell you a little story. I know this was about maybe 25 or 26 years ago. I had when I worked for a utility, I had a boss there that I had a heart for and wanted to witness to him. And one day he called me in the office and we were talking about various things. And then he gave me an opportunity to tell him about Christ. I wish I could give you a good report. because he says you're an enigma because you do say one thing and then you do the other. I know you're a Christian, yet when it comes on Fridays, you're out partying with the crew, and I really don't see much difference. That absolutely devastated me. Here I had a heart for this man to bring Christ into him, and he pointed out that I really wasn't that much different than the whole world. It is true that the church is filled up with hypocrites. At least we're coming here to work on our problems, right? But to lose an opportunity to lead somebody to Christ is a devastating thing. That was 26 years ago. I've not touched a drink of alcohol since. I've not run with a boy since. And I'm not going to get into whether drinking alcohol is right or not, but all I know is that my old nature stopped me from leading a man to an eternity with Christ. How do we be holy and model Him? Well, we're going to find out today. We're going to go to our Bibles. You can grab your Bibles in your pew. I am reading from the NIV. And we're going to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be covering verse 5 through 17. And those that don't have the Bible, guess what? It's on the back of your outline. But before we do that, I want you to turn to your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder, and say, it's Sunday, it's time to put on God's Word. Let's do that. It's Sunday, it's time to put on God's Word. Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's do this. Let's see what Paul tells us about putting on the new man and taking off those old clothes. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as an ambassador and messenger of yours, sometimes it's hard to keep the same clothes on all the time. It's no fantasy that the world thinks we are hypocrites, because many times we are. I ask, Lord, that through your word, through Paul's writings, that it will show us the difference of the clothes we need to shed as well as the clothes that we need to put on. Help us, Lord, to model you and be an emissary so that we can all change our community and hopefully someday the world. So, Lord, I've asked for your anointing to come down on this congregation, that when we leave, we know that we've been with you, and that everything that proceeds from my mouth is directly from your throne and nothing from my humanness. So we lift you up, Lord, and we pray for your special blessing today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Okay. I like Paul because Paul tries to remind us what we were made to be. In these passages, he's telling us what we shouldn't put on, what attributes and personalities we shouldn't carry, and then he tells us what we ought to wear. I love his phrase. He uses words like put off, which in the Greek means apothethemi, or lay aside, cast it off, get rid of it. You know, it's like when you have these clothes that you know, you work in the mud and the filth, and then you come home, they're beyond cleaning, and you wouldn't ball it up and just throw it in the fire. That's what is meant by opetithomy, is to cast it off, get rid of it. He also then says, let's put on, which in the Greek is enduno, which means to clothe oneself and to totally envelop oneself. So when we're talking about clothing oneself and put on new clothes, we're talking about new shoes, new socks, new undergarments, new shirts, new ties, new jackets, new hats. All those things that God has to give us. So we have to, I think Paul is telling us, that if we're to be Christians and we're going to carry that name, then we have to put on the new clothes that he's given us. And that old stuff, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have the mindset that we're not like that anymore. One of my favorite movies is a Clint Eastwood movie. How many here likes Clint Eastwood? Mostly the guys, or some of the ladies too. You know, he's famous for phrases like "Make my day" and other phrases. You know, how lucky do you think you are, punk? You know, things like that. But there was one movie that a line really impressed me, and it was from the movie Unforgiven. And in this movie, Clint Eastwood plays the cowboy, Will Muni. The interesting thing about Will Muni is he used to be the meanest, rottenest cowboy in the West. He would kill men without provocation. He would kill men in an instant. He had this anger and meanness built up in him. That is, until he met his dear wife, Claudia, and for the first time saw love and felt love and compassion and understanding, and he dramatically changed and became a family man. But the line I really like is when he was always reminded about the way he used to be, he would come up and say, "But I ain't like that no more." I ain't like that no more. Remember that phrase. Because I think Paul is telling us to remember that and to use that. So let's kind of unpack the scripture, as we say in seminary. That means let's go through the scriptures and try to see what it's really meaning and how it applies to us. So let's first talk about the clothes that don't fit us. The clothes that don't fit us. So in verse 5 he says, put to death. And when he says put to death, he says destroy. Mortify it. You know, it's dead. Anybody here see the Princess Bride? No, it's not just dead. It's dead. It's not mostly dead. It's dead. So that's what Paul's trying to say. Take these things. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he starts to describe it. What belongs to earthly nature? He says it right here. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Do you think these old clothes are new? I mean, do you think knowing what these items are is new to our world? No. We face this every single day to take us away from us living the Christian life. Power, money, sex. It draws us away. And that's the old nature that we don't live in anymore. Because why? I ain't like that no more. We don't need to make those things our idols. Look at people that have made these things their idols. I know what you're thinking. Yeah. Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan. All that have a mess in their lives because they've made these things their idols. It says here, put away those which is idolatry, which means you're making them your gods. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You can't live a life like that without consequences. And some are man's consequences, and some of it is God taking away that hedge of protection because you run away from Him. Does that make sense? Like, God wants a relationship with us. He wants to protect us. But we're running away from that. Therefore, the anger is there, and there's consequences to what we do. And I love this. It says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. You used to live there, okay? Just make sure it's gone. That's not you anymore. It's not what I created you to be. I ain't like that no more. And he tells us other things to get rid of. It says, but now you must rid yourself of such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. You hear those words? They're all sins of the tongue. Slander, rage of somebody, malice towards somebody, anger towards somebody. They're all of them are the sins of the tongue that we need to put aside. I don't know what's wrong with a newer generation as it relates to the ministry, because they've duped to using uncolorful language because they want to say everything to people we fit into. Well, we don't fit in. That's what makes us different. So the youth pastor with a nice suit that uses all this language, it's like having a nice suit on with a big stain. Because others hear that language. And what do they stare at? What do they stare at when someone has a big red stain on their white shirt? They stare at the stain. That is why that Paul is very specific, saying it tears you down. It makes you less than what God made you to be. Also, he says, don't lie to one another. He's saying that even the simplest sins will demean you, will take away your witness. Don't lie to one another, since you've taken off the old self with all its practices. Don't do that. Let's say it together. I ain't like that no more. Let's hear it. I ain't like that no more. Women, don't be tempted by slander and gossip and malice towards somebody else. Don't fall into that trap. Because why, ladies? Let's do that again. Okay. And men, don't fall in with the boys, with the filthy language and the drinking and the carousing and, yes, sexual immorality. Because, guys, guess what? I ain't like that no more. And then Paul says, and have put on the new self. We're not like that anymore. We've put on the new self. We've put on new threads. We've put on the nature and character of Christ. It says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You want to live a new life in Christ? Then you better know everything about Christ. You better study who he is. Because once you're with him and you grow with him, you become more like him. Listen what's said in Acts about Peter and John. Listen to this. This is when the people saw the miracles coming out of Peter and John. Listen to this. When they saw the confidence of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and looked at them as having been with Jesus. Having been with Jesus. God wants us to put on the new self. But to know the new self, we need to be with him. Here's what D.L. Moody says. Keep in touch with him. It is a recognized fact that two persons thrown together a good deal are apt to become alike in habits of thought and conduct and even in looks. It is said of the early disciples that the rulers took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Moses had a shining face after he had been with God. Isn't that something? We want to put on the new clothes. We want to know what the new clothes is all about. Let's be with Jesus. Let's spend time with Jesus. I mean, does that make sense? Does that make sense? It does to me. And what I really love about these verses is when we're in Jesus, we're all alike. The verse says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in us all. I mean, you recognize when you meet a fellow believer and you have conversation with them, you go, wow, I just met them. And they're just like me. And there's no segregation. No segregation. We're all the same. Whether we're rich or poor or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Methodist or white, black, green, yellow, or from Italy or from Germany or from America, we're all the same. And we're to be all the same, carrying the aroma of Christ. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. And he tells us what to wear. But I love this. This is how God looks at us. When we become believers, he has a destiny for us. We are the elect once we come to Christ. And he says, here, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy. Now, where did that come from? There are days we're not holy. But he's made us holy on the cross. And dearly loved. What's that all about? God loves us. Does he love us? Of course he loves us. What encouragement to us believers. Number one, we have a destiny and a purpose. Number two, we're holy even though we know we're not. But he's made us holy. And number three, we are dearly loved. Well, it's not like we're loved, but we are dearly loved. That deep, affectionate love. That's deeper than any love we'd ever encounter in the world. So with that, what are we supposed to wear then? And this is what we're supposed to wear. We're supposed to clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what Will Money saw in his wife, Claudia. That changed him. He saw that love. He saw that compassion. He saw that gentleness that he never saw before. And he saw that kindness and that patience. That will change the world. If I would have been consistent with my boss and shown just that and not the other side and not the old nature, that would have drawn him closer to saying yes to Christ. Not only that, we're supposed to bear with each other. And that doesn't mean just tolerate one another. It means to hold up one another. And forgive one another. And forgive anything, any grievance you have with one another. And the forgiveness we give out, the forgiveness that we wear in these new clothes, is to forgive as the Lord forgave you. There are some times that we don't have a penny of forgiveness to others. And when we look at our lives and see what God has forgiven us, we found out that He's forgiven us with a stack of coins that probably reach to the heavens. Think about that. That He's given us that forgiveness on the cross of all the crap that we've had in our lives all the way to the ceiling. All those stupid things that we've done. And sometimes we can't take a penny and give it to somebody else. Think about that. Because you know, His blood was shed for all. His blood was shed for all to forgive all. When you think about it, He's dying on a cross and He's being spit upon and His blood's dripping and He's been tortured. And He's dying, He's suffocating. And one of the words He says, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." I mean, that's forgiveness, isn't it? And that's forgiveness. That's deep forgiveness. The world is just tearing us apart. We have to learn to forgive them as God forgave us. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all in perfect unity. What happens when there's no thread in your clothes? What happens? It falls apart. That's the same with the clothes that we wear. The thread that holds our clothes together is a thread of love. Because out of love comes compassion and kindness and gentleness. It's the thing that sews it all together. It's the thing that makes it all fit. It's the hems. It's the, you know, it's the tucking back here. And sometimes it's the letting out here. But it makes it all fit. That love makes it all fit. Isn't this beautiful the way He describes? He says, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It makes a perfect fit. We can walk around. And when we have the right fit, guess what? It feels good. Ginger relays a message of our daughter who got married 2 months ago, trying on wedding gowns. And finally she found the right one. And Ginger says she's looking from the mirror and her persona just totally changed. And she smiled and she looked at her mom. She said, "This is it. Because I feel pretty." God wants us to feel pretty. God don't want us to carry the conscience of bad deeds and how it haunts us. He He wants us to put on the new clothes. He wants us to say, this doesn't fit too bad. He wants us to say, I do clean up pretty nice sometimes, don't I? And there's a peace about it, and that's where we are in verse 15. That when we have the right fit, we should let the peace of Christ roll in our hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. There is such a thing of peace that passes all understanding. It's that peace that when you say, I'm going to cast off the junk and I'm going to be who He made me to be, that you have this. This is okay. I can live this way. I didn't give up anything. I didn't give up my friends at the bar. I gained friends in Christ. Think about that. I gained friends in Christ. I didn't give anything up. I gained everything. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. So let the word of God dress you. Put on the word of God. Be afraid to sing the songs that help you put on the old clothes. Songs like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What's the result? You put on the new clothes, and you model Him, and you walk every day life, and maybe, just maybe, someone's going to come up to you and say, can I have the pattern of that new dress you have on? Or that new suit you have on? I'd like to know more about that because I want one of those too. My commentary says, living in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ involves several dimensions. First, it means that we are Jesus Christ's representative and ambassador. We are here on earth to show other people who He is and how He works and what He's done in our lives. And He wants our lives to be a reflection of His own love and character as we shine His light into a darkened world. The world is looking on, sometimes with curiosity, sometimes with derision. But our behavior and demeanor as Christ's ones are always under scrutiny. Because as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world is watching us. So let's be who He made us to be. Let's put on these new clothes. Let's model Jesus. Let's walk and talk about Him every day. And you'll see your world change around you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You with our hearts out and such embarrassment, and even in my own mind, as sometimes I try to mix the old life with the new life, and more than not, I become a cripple with maybe a shiny suit, and that's it. Lord, help us to be consistent in the way we walk and talk. Help us to be Your messengers. Help us to be holy. And help us to be Your model. Lord, it's something we all want so much. I don't want to be a hypocrite in the church anymore. I know that just working through it, I will have times in which I am not a perfect man. And we'll have times in which we're not a perfect congregation. But Lord, let us wear as much of that fabric that we can, and help us to cover ourselves from head to foot with You. Lord, I ask if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you say, I want that clothes. The old clothes don't fit. I've been uncomfortable. It's been killing me. It's a clothes of death. I want the new clothes. I want the clothes of Jesus' compassion and love and kindness and gentleness and patience. I want that. If there's anybody who wants that, all you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior. All you got to do is say, you know what, Lord, I want to throw away and burn these old garments. I want to throw them away as far as the east is from the west. And I want a relationship with you because I want peace. I want your clothing so people notice that there's a change in me. It's easy to say, Lord, I love you. I repent. Please come into my heart. So if you don't know Jesus, now's the time to just say yes to him. That's all. Just yes. Now, with all eyes closed and head bowed, if there's anybody who said that prayer, I want to pray for you because I care about you. So I ask, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up and put it down. You know who you are. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I guarantee all of us that this life in Christ is nothing but the best. I guarantee to those that have accepted Christ today, I just guarantee to you that there will be a sense of freedom. It won't take all your troubles away. It won't save you from things you've done in the past, but it will give you a new future and hope. So with that, Lord, I just ask that you bless us all. You give us this zeal to be more like you. And then we go out in the community to minister to lost and dying. We pray this in your holy and precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all other. Amen.